Welcome to episode 8 of Will I Ever Learn Chinese? I'm Jeanette Seikel. In this episode, I'm going to explain how I started with writing Chinese characters. How do you learn to read and write a language that everybody reminds you has one of the most difficult writing systems in the world? Well, thinking back, I had in fact come across a way to learn Chinese writing about a decade ago. If I remember correctly, it all started with an article in a newspaper encouraging readers to learn to read a Chinese menu within 6 weeks by using a specially devised program on an online learning platform. The platform was freely accessible at the time, and I thought the idea of being able to read Chinese characters interesting, so I started to follow the course, and soon I was able to read some Chinese. Reading some Chinese, in this case, refers to recognizing some of the characters. I had no idea how the words were pronounced. Yet, this method was excellent to help me identify menu items at my local Chinese restaurant. The program was nicely put together, and I thought it was quite intriguing, because the characters were displayed in such a way that they were depicting actual things or actions. For example, a pair of chopsticks on top of a bowl of noodles was drawn around the Chinese character for noodles, mian. Once you think about it that way, the character really starts looking like a bowl of noodles with a pair of chopsticks at the top, even when the accompanying drawing is not given. The memory jog helped me a lot, and I could envisage the meaning of the characters in the pictures. Chinese characters originate in ideograms, pictures of things that then got extended to other meanings. Some of today's characters still bear some resemblance to their original form, but most have actually changed quite considerably. The memory jog pictures I was learning were typically not reflecting the history of the characters themselves. Rather, they made use of similarities with contemporary objects, such as the bowl of noodles just discussed. Still, I found this link between image and character helpful, as it enabled me to picture the characters in relation to their meaning and remember them better this way. Back then, when I finished the Read a Chinese Menu course, I thought to myself that if I ever would learn Chinese in the future, then I would come back to the approach of learning characters through pictures. I suddenly remembered this as I was looking for a way to learn to write Chinese and decided to give it a go. Interestingly, I could still remember a number of the characters I had learned back then, together with their accompanying pictures. So ingrained were they in my memory. I realized that this way of teaching reading and writing, alongside my other methods for learning Chinese, would be efficient, but would also be fun. I did a quick online search, and I came across various apps that were teaching basic Chinese characters in this way. I looked through the reviews and settled on one of these apps that I found visually particularly appealing. Interestingly, this app had received a lot of critical reviews, mainly saying that it would not teach you Chinese, rather it would teach you how to read and write. But that was exactly what I wanted. If I'd pick up new vocabulary on the way, then that would be great, but I was not going to use the app for learning the language itself. I had other programs for that already. The way the app taught reading and writing was, again, a bit like a game, and it appealed to me a lot. I could make easy and quick progress, track that progress, while repeating what I had learned at my own pace. Rather than teaching the most common or useful words and expressions, like ni hao, hello, the writing app was set up to teach you the basic building blocks of Chinese characters. Once mastered, you can read a lot and gain access to a lot more difficult characters, I soon found out. I could see why people who wanted to use the app solely for learning to speak Chinese would not get on with it well, but it worked a treat for writing. I had already seen that characters could be built up around different parts, and I had seen that sometimes these parts were squeezed together, like the ch, ka element appearing in liang, the measure word used with vehicles. Combining the sound liang, two, with the ch, ka meaning part. Both of these characters were combined to form a single character referring to the measuring word for vehicles. The program told me that some parts of characters, referred to as radicals, could express the overall meaning or category of the character. There were around 200 such radicals to learn, and the program proceeded to teaching the most common ones first. Since the radicals are typically based on existing characters that can appear on their own, I was learning individual characters and radicals at the same time. For example, nü, woman, is a character that can also be used as a radical. It appears in the word for mother that we already discussed earlier, ma. The latter is really interesting as it combines the sound of ma, horse, with the woman radical to form mother. It also combines the sign of horse together with woman. So the character for woman is squashed at the beginning of the character, the overall character for mother, and the character for horse is at the end. And both together make up the sign for mother. At first I thought this was hilarious. Could they possibly be referring to a mother as a female horse? Wouldn't that be quite outrageous? But later, I realized that lots of other characters work this way too. Words that sound similar sometimes use similar characters to indicate that. Radicals are the building blocks of Chinese characters. Many characters have radicals as a part, so the word for person is zhen, and the character is, well, a line that goes up and a line that goes down. This is sometimes pictured as a person walking from the side, and once you see it that way, it's very difficult not to imagine it in that way. But this character can also be used in a shortened form as a radical, in which case it looks a bit like the number one in English writing. And in this case, it appears in, for example, the personal pronoun ta for he, which occurs alongside the feminine form with the little element for nu, for woman, before the second part to indicate that we're talking about a female. I also noticed that the question particle ma, the one without a tone, remember, with a neutral tone, because it usually appears at the end of a sentence and is quite short. This was again combining the character for horse with another radical. And the radical was, well, just like a rectangle before the horse element. This turned out to be the radical for mouth, which appeared at the front. I thought this made sense, as asking a question has something to do with the mouth, doesn't it? The app kept teaching me the most commonly occurring radicals, and some of them are very common and also have a free element, like nu. Others, however, were quite obscure. Initially, I was wondering why I was learning the words for bow, gong, early on, when that was clearly advanced vocabulary. And then I found out that this character is at the basis of a number of other characters, such as zhuo, weak, jiang, to stretch, and so on, where it is combined with other elements to form a combined character. It also seemed to appear in other character formations where it did not apparently serve as a radical. I was still getting my head around the issue and I was not entirely clear what was meant, but some of these forms included fo, Buddha, and di, which is used with ordinal numbers, so numbers such as first, second, and so on. Remember, the number one is yi. So when you want to say the first, you would use this D element and put it in front of the E, the one, D-E, the first. These basic building blocks took me a while to learn, but once I had mastered them, and I understood how Chinese characters can be built up out of a lot of elements, a lot of the written language suddenly opened up to me. So, having a few shortcuts at the beginning can be incredibly useful. I soon became keen to progress in the app and rush to finish all of the levels alongside my other learning methods. In hindsight, I probably only really needed the app to give me a way into the writing system at first, rather than finishing it all. Once I understood how the system worked, I picked up new characters and other settings, though admittedly, learning to read and write in Chinese took a very long time. But I no longer needed illustrations to jog my memory learning new characters, as I had gotten used to the way characters were built up, and there was usually some other way of remembering the new ones I was learning. I noticed something else as well. As I was learning the radicals and different characters in combination, not only did I learn to read and write, but I also remembered new vocabulary better. It all went hand in hand, and I felt, by learning the different aspects of the language, I was improving more rapidly than I would otherwise have done. Also, learning different things kept me engaged for longer. This may sound counterintuitive, but I was able to make my learning more interesting and motivating. There was only so much of my regular learning program I could do before getting tired, before it got too complex and I needed a break. Likewise, the writing up was great fun and I progressed quickly, but I would not be able to do it for very long before having enough of it. However, by mixing different methods, my regular gamified approach to writing up, writing practice and so on, I could just move to another method, which would give me new energy and motivation. This, in turn, helped me to learn the different aspects of the language alongside one another. The more contexts I was using the language in, the more likely it was that I was coming across things that I had already learned. For example, words I had learned in my gamified learning program popped up in the writing app, which then further solidified the learning in my head. Learning something in one context and then encountering it in another will greatly increase your ability to remember it. I also found another context in which I could use the language. Putting on my headphones, listening to Chinese sound files, and repeating what I was hearing. I could fit this nicely into my daily routine to coincide with walking with my headphones on, or on the car stereo driving to work, or even gardening or cleaning the house. At first, I was using the sound accompaniment that came with my gamified learning app. This was repeating the different words and sentences of each lesson with time set aside for the learner to repeat what was said. This way I got used to the pronunciation and surrounded myself with spoken Chinese. I was also practicing to speak, saying words out loud whenever I did not feel too self-conscious. Eventually, I found a circular walk from my house that involved crossing very few roads and where I encountered very few other people. This became what I ended up calling my standard Chinese walk. I would go on this walk whenever possible, getting exercise while listening to the language. When I felt brave, I also pronounced what I was hearing. Since this route was pretty quiet, I only occasionally received funny glances when others unexpectedly appeared en route. My listening comprehension, however, improved a lot this way. My pronunciation became much more refined too. I was honing my listening skills and became better and better at remembering the expressions and replicating the tones.